changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest this morning. And we have a guest that is a friend of mine, someone I met through the Florida Speakers Association. He is a guy like me, travels around and delivers speeches at keynote speeches at events and also breakouts and even long sessions during the day. His name is Scott Lesnick, and let me tell you a little bit about him. He speaks on transformational leadership, and his stories are very, very powerful, especially the one where he talks about how he created a daring plan to reunite his two children who were kidnapped to the Middle East when no laws required them to be returned. So everybody, I want to invite you to say good morning and welcome to Scott Lesnick. You are live. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on. It's good to see you. I wish we could be together, but this works. And living in South Florida as well, I hear you with the rain. It's a nice thing, but enough is enough. Now it's time to move on to some sunshine and let those who are visiting enjoy the beautiful, warm Florida weather.
There you go. Well, it's probably going to be snowing soon. I want to jump right in. And first of all, I want to thank you. And as I shared with you, I asked you to do this so I could get a little more preparation and skill. And also, I wanted to share your message with the people who are regulars and also the people who join us for the very first time here on our Daily Jumpstarts. And there are thousands of people who watch and listen. And as Scott was telling me his story, I thought this is an amazing story. So I want to invite you, please, would you share the story that you are most known for, the one I alluded to?
Well, it's not being a male model, as you can see, but the story that...
I was going to say, you and I look like two-thirds of the Blue Man Group.
the story I'm most known for in speaking, it's called A Signature Story. It's based on one of the books I wrote, Kid Jack, the Father's Story. And good morning, Linda. It's the true story of how I came up with a pretty interesting plan and a way to rescue my two kids who were kidnapped and taken to the Middle East by who was then my wife, and there were no laws requiring them to be returned. So it's a story of how you keep your act together, barely, keep stress in check, and remain positive and grateful for things, even though the doo-doo's hitting the fan, and how I engaged other people to help me along the way, and eventually successfully got the kids home.
How long did this process take? How long were they there before you were able to bring them home?
It was 6 months. Now, in the time span of life, 6 months isn't forever, but if you have two little kids that are 2 and 4 years old, every day seems like a year.
Especially
not knowing if you're going to get them home. So it was 6 months, there was a lot of preparation, a lot to do, a lot of trial and error. And I learned some important lessons along the way. That's one of the things in this presentation that I share, because it helped me so much. I thought, well, maybe I can share with others. And sure enough, it doesn't matter what you do for a living or who you are. These are takeaways that we can all use professionally and personally. So I was able to include those in the story, which, by the way, when I do this particular keynote, I let folks know within about 5 minutes, Will, that it ends well, because I learned early if I didn't do that, no one can concentrate. They're on the edge of their seats. They're sitting there going, what the heck? You know, so I was losing audiences early on and I needed to change things up.
Well, the book title is clickbait in and of itself. Say it one more time slower, because I wanted to make sure
yes,
I had a chance to hear it.
It's called Kid Jacked. Kid Jacked. One word. I just kind of came up with it because it's called Kid Jacked, A Father's Story. And it's really about me, right? How I tried to get my kids back. And I couldn't say kidnapped because it made me cry. It made me weak. It did not strengthen my resolve. It made me mush. So I just had to come up with a different word. And one day kidjacked came into my mind, and I was like, okay. So that became the title of the book years after this happened.
Wow. What a wonderful way, though, to contextualize a very traumatic experience. Mm. To reframe it. Well, share with us some of these principles that you discovered that you find are applicable to other people's lives as well, even if they're not in a situation quite so horrific as yours.
Yeah, that's a great point too, Will. Real quick, you know, when I'm talking about this as a keynote, I let people know early on that I know that you haven't had your kids kidnapped and taken to a Middle Eastern country. I pretty much get that. Yeah. But we've all gone through something that's made us feel the same way. Now, I'll mention a few things and so forth, but it's true. We can't always relate to an individual story, but if we put it back on our lives, there's certain things that may have happened. We go, okay, I get that. So one of the things that I talk about, which seems really silly, but it works, is deep breathing. And I used to sit there trying to figure out how I could lower my stress. And then I saw a lady on TV one day, and she talked about deep breathing, and I began to practice deep breathing. And I thought, I'm really good at this because I'm sitting on the couch. She said, do it 5 times. Your stress level goes down, your energy level goes up. So I tried deep breathing and it worked, but I'm a type A guy. And I thought, I've got this. So I tried to get up to 10 times. And after about 7, thankfully I'm on my couch, I start getting woozy.
So you're talking about 7 deep breaths, not 7 times a day, right?
Right.
Okay.
And I also, you know, I share in there too, I was, my best friend Bobby was talking to me, and he's like, what's going on? And I'm on the phone with him. He goes, give me an update. And I'm giving him an update. And at the same time, I'm practicing deep breathing, not realizing it's kind of weird. And he goes, what's that sound you're making? I said, well, I'm practicing deep breathing. He said, you need to stop that. It's really creepy. So almost anywhere you do it, deep breathing is great. But on the phone, you know, you're not supposed to do it. So lesson learned.
And our culture, we are not taught to breathe as children. Certainly not in this culture.
Right.
We tend to mimic the breathing, which is often anxious, of our parents, et cetera. And I think you and I talked about it last time we got together. I had heard this podcast, and it was talking about the fact that we have two, not defibrillators, but what are you, pacemakers that are natural in our body. Mm-hmm. And one is right next to our heart, and it regulates our heart. Whereas the one that regulates our breathing is actually in our mind. It's actually up in our brain. Yeah. So it shows that the two are so symbiotic. When you relax your breathing, you relax your mind. When you relax your mind, you relax your breathing.
It's true. And if you're conscious of it, like you said here, it's amazing how in a situation, it doesn't necessarily change the situation you're in, but it lowers your stress so that you can handle it better. Great point.
Yeah, very cool. All right, so deep breathing. Tell us more. What else?
Deep breathing worked. And this one was tough. I think we can all relate to it. It's opening up to others, because I was ashamed that this happened. I was embarrassed. How could I have not seen that it was going to occur? So what I had to do is I had to lower this wall and let people in. And I was, it wasn't easy at first, but I opened up to everyone, friends, family, co-workers, acquaintances, to see if anybody had just a nugget of information that might move me forward, even if it was just an inch at a time. And I began to realize that, and I didn't know at the time, and then I read more about it. We are hardwired as human beings to help one another. If we sense danger, we'll back off. But if we don't, and somebody goes, I need your help, you're like, what can I do for you? What do you need? What's up? So as I would talk to people, they give me fresh perspectives and new ways of looking at things. And it was great. And that's one of the things also I take back to the audience, because I really want this to be about what they're going through too. And I'm like, well, do you need to lower your wall and let people in? Is there something that you're facing right now, or a goal or a challenge? And so opening up helps a lot. I also explain that.
I love the hardwired for help, by the way.
Huh?
I love the hardwired for help. I mean, we truly, if someone were to stumble and fall, dozens of people would walk over and try and pick them up. You know, I saw somebody fall at the airport, and it struck me that that very same person people were trying to cut ahead of just seconds before, and now all they wanted to do is lift him up. So it's like when we can, when we allow our humanity or our pain, or in your case, your need for help, it kicks off that what the Hopi Indians call the beneficent desire of the soul. The soul has a yes. desire to do good. And we forget that. We think we're leaning on people when actually we're giving them an opportunity.
That's a great point. And it's interesting, you know, you mentioned the person in the airport. We travel a lot, and there are people that can be a little pushy, and others that are like, go ahead. And I learned that when you're opening up to people, they're going to share a lot with you, and you have to decide what to keep and what to toss out. The other thing I learned that was really important is that sometimes when you're trying to achieve something, or you're trying to make a move in your life professionally or personally, and you're opening up to people, well, there's going to be folks that are negative. And we know who they are in our lives. And I suggest to the participants of the audience that when you're going through things and you open up to people, if there's negative folks, you probably want to spend less time with them and more time with the people that have got your back, that are grateful, that are positive, that can help.
I imagine you had a lot of people who said, you know what, just give it up. There's the yeah. law is not on your side. Yeah. This is the other side of the world, et cetera, et cetera. How did you deal with that?
I knew that they were right. I realized that they were right. And I realized that what I was going to eventually try to do that I hadn't even developed yet may or may not work. So I had to honor the fact that the folks that were saying this were saying it for my own good. And it was their opinion, their perspective. And what I decided, though, one day is I was just looking in the mirror. I was shaving, and I thought to myself, look, you've got two choices. You either fight for these kids until your last breath, or you stop right now. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? And I will be honest. I thought for a couple of seconds because it was so daunting, probably a half a minute. I'm going back and forth. And then I thought, you know what? I'm just in. I'm in. Whatever happens to me happens, but I'm going to do everything I can to get the kids back. And eventually it worked. And then a friend of mine years later, when I became a speaker and I began speaking on navigating change and generations and sales and all that, he was listening to this story and he said, you're the never give up guy. You never gave up. Mm-hmm. So many of us would have. And I never even really thought about it. I was like, I didn't have a choice. He goes, yeah, you did. And you didn't give up. So I don't know why I didn't, but it was just, that was how I'm cut, I guess.
Well, I think that it's also a choice that everybody can make, how much you're going to persist. I just finished Will Smith's autobiography, and he talks about how he has this approach to life that if he's competing with somebody, it's I will win or I will die in the process. And he says he just knows that he has that level of commitment. So he chooses his commitments very carefully, yeah. and he absolutely stays with them.
And he's a great actor. You can see in his roles that he takes that right in there, and he gives it everything, whatever the part is. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's you need to read the book sometime because it's a great story for leadership, et cetera, too, because
I will.
He became very clear on that he wanted to be the biggest movie star in the world. That was literally his goal. He told everybody that worked around him, he's like, this is what we're working for. And so one of his buddies studied the top movies over the last 10 years, and they figured out a formula, and that's what they look for. And I won't spoil it, but Will okay. Smith's movies
yeah,
have
good.
This
well, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to read that. I've got a little time between now and the new year, so that will be good.
Cool.
Good All right, advice, so, Will.
Thank you, sir. Will. Deep breathing, persistence, opening up to other people, letting your wall down. Share another point or two, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing I did, and this is going to sound silly, but every single person who's on here right now, and I'm looking at all these wonderful people, their names, and Bonnie, and Linda, and Ed, and Jennifer, and Barbara. It was music, and it sounds funny, but what ended up happening to me one day, I'm still working. I'm managing a big team at a big company, and I'm in my car heading to visit one of my team members and a client, and I start listening to music, Will. and a song comes on and I'm rocking out to it. And I'm like, my world's kind of still crumbling around me. Why is this making me feel good? And then I listen to another song and I'm feeling good. It was a Rolling Stone song and it's making me feel great. And I think, okay, fine. So I wanted to find out what was going on and I researched, and it was dopamine, that feel good neurochemical that gets released into our brain, and the food we like, the movie that we would give 10 stars to if we could, the book that we just read that was great. It's dopamine. We relate to it. So I remind folks that when they're stressed out, and we have an activity during the keynote, we talk about our favorite artists, our favorite music. And I know who it is for me. I know who I connect with. And I ask them to talk about it and to share who they like so that next time they're stressed out, they can put in their AirPods, their Beats, their headphones, crank up the music in their car and just get lost. And it's true. Stress goes down and feelings of feeling better go way up. And so I talk about music in that way because these are things that we kind of know, mm-hmm. but we're so busy, we tend to forget.
Well, right? Not only that, they're so practical, but so simple that people just went, you know.
Yeah.
Because I actually had a therapist I was working with one time who, one of the first things she had me do, she's like, okay, let's build your playlist. And I thought, oh, this is some psychological term. And she says, no, I want you to pick 10 songs that if you're in a, you know, funk, you can put this on and remember that and name it that. And it was it's a great idea. It's amazing.
It's good enough for a therapist.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
It does work. It does improve your mood. It reduces stress. It makes you feel better. It just releases all sorts of goodness. And especially when it's the music that we like, you know?
Yeah.
Which is great.
So who's your music, dude? You didn't tell us.
For me, it's very simple. It's anything Motown. It's Steely Dan. It's reggae. It's the Beatles, Sheryl Crow, and some classical in there too, and it's to the artist sometime. It can be Pavarotti too. There's certain things that I just know if I hear that song or those artists, wherever I am, I'm going to feel good or gooder when I listen. And so that's what I do. And then I ask others to share, and it's amazing the varieties of music that people like and that they share. And I, of course, we honor all of them because whatever you like, you like. It works for you. Mm-hmm. Let me put it back on you, Will. Who would you choose? What are some of the artists you would choose?
Oh, it's going to sound funny to you because I was telling someone last night that I've seen Kiss live 12 times. But that's not actually the band. That's not my go-to. Believe it or not, it would be Broadway, like Hamilton, Wicked, Avenue Q, that kind of thing. And the other one, believe it or not, I was listening to yesterday. I'm just like always kind of floating around when I listen to it. Is The Velvet Fog, Mel Torme.
I've got a huge
Mel Torme playlist, and I love listening.
Yes. Mel is, she was good. He was quite something. Yeah. And you know, a great, you know, and sometimes we'll list our music and people will go, that's okay. You don't have to like it. It works here for me. That's all that matters.
Right.
So those are some of the things that work for me, opening up to others, deep breathing and listening to what others had to say in music, things like that really helped balance me and kept me from crawling into a little ball in a corner and just tossing in the towel and giving up.
So what is interesting, I find, is you're not sharing tips and tricks for getting your children back. You are sharing how to keep yourself on the upside, the positive side, keep going. Persistence, as you say, is your sort of your superpower, right?
Persistence equals success. That's what I say. Now, in this keynote, which is an hour long, I share what would, I guess, be the movie version. The book has a lot more stuff in it with things that I don't share and more things that make you go, are you kidding? But I do take them along this journey and show exactly what I did, what worked, what didn't, and how I ended up getting the kids back and what I put into play and how these things played out. So I take them in that journey. But in between all of that, I'm sharing these things and taking it back to them, bringing it back to them constantly into their life so that not only do I take them on what I'm told is a fun adventure that ends well, but I give them some actionable takeaways as well.
I think it's very smart of you to have realized too, because I think to give people the punchline at the beginning, because that's such a big punchline that people would just, they would, that concept of lock on, lock out, they'd lock on to wondering about the kids, and they would lock out all the good stuff that you're sharing with them.
Yeah, I wish I could take credit for that and thank you, but one of my mentors, the late great Chris Clark Epstein, she shared that with me when I was beginning to work on this, and she said, sweetheart, I think you're going to need to let people off the hook quickly. Their moms, dads, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, grandparents, you need to let them know or nobody will be able to listen to a word you're saying. I'm like, thank you. And again, one of the many, many times she was right.
Awesome. I'm going to take a second here and ask if anybody has any questions for you. We've got a number of comments and you've inspired me. We often do what's called the song of the day. And at the end of the broadcast, I invite everybody to listen to the song of the day.
Okay.
And so I have chosen Gladiator by Zadie Wolf. Have you ever heard that song?
I have not, but I will be listening to it. I love that idea. And I love when people share music too, because sometimes, again, you're like, eh, and other times you're like, oh my gosh, that's so, you know, there's way more out there than we can ever listen to. So
right, yes. And I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and they were talking about all the shows and everything like that. There was actually a book I read years ago, but it was not that good. It was called Entertained to Death. And I thought, wow, that is such a good commentary for where we are. Let me check in with everybody real quick. Heather says, good morning. She's grateful for Monday. Ed says he's grateful for quiet neighbors. I just wish there were some friendly pets in the neighborhood. Ed, if you're in the neighborhood, stop by, pick up Teddy. I'll let you take him for a walk.
Yeah.
Jennifer, good morning. Oh, and this is another cool thing about me and Scott. Not only are we speakers and, you know, follically dominant, I wouldn't call that challenged, but he has a golden doodle named
Eddie.
And I have a golden doodle named Teddy. So how cool is that?
I know.
Cool. And Jennifer says, good morning, y'all. Grateful for my daughter didn't get COVID after a close exposure. I was getting a massage the other day, and this woman said, I was out all last week. And I said, is everything okay? She said, yeah, I had COVID. And I thought, this is the person giving me a massage. Good morning, Scott. Grateful for the capability to Zoom, says Linda. Barb J says, your resilience, love, composure, principles, and yes, the end result and how to get there. Everyone needs to check out Scott's book. And you've written several, just like me, have you not?
I've written a couple, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reading right now, Breathing by James Nestor. Okay, good recommendation there.
Great.
Thank you. Bonnie Phillips, good to see you and your dachshund. Good morning. Grateful for starting my day with you and the gift you give to others. Aren't you sweet? Thank you very much. Here it is. Looking forward to Scott's books is Linda Ann Starnes and Jennifer Schwanz, Birch says, music is healing. Absolutely. Have you noticed that there is no ritual that human beings have that does not involve music? I mean, when we swear people in, when we get married, when we graduate, et cetera. Music is so anchoring. I'll share a quick story. You probably know this, Scott. I just think it's kind of interesting with music. When I was in radio, they discovered you could target an audience based on their adolescence. In other words, adolescence going through puberty is such a dynamic thing on your mind, your body, your soul, that if they can figure out the music you were listening to, which is a lot for me, a lot of the stuff that you were just saying, that you can play that music for me now at 62. And I still go, it makes me feel good.
Yeah. And they use it for sales and marketing. They know. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They know what to do.
You're noticing, Grateful Dead is being used for investments now to try and reach us.
It's true.
Oh, let's see. I think I've got one or two more quick comments and then I'm going to have to let you go. First of all, I want to appreciate and tell Scott, thank you very much for understanding. I didn't give him a lot of information about what we were going to do today.
No problem.
And so he was, a space monkey, like in Fight Club. You know, first guy, space monkey. All right. Grateful for cashmere. Who wouldn't be, Therese?
All right.
That's a great thing to be grateful for.
I love that.
So, Scott, I'm going to ask you, what are you grateful for today?
I am grateful for having some time to slow down, spend some great time with family and friends for Thanksgiving, and just relax a little bit and focus more on closeness and being able to be together with people again. That is what I am grateful for, Will.
Nice. I think a lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah.
Well, once again, Scott, thank you for being with me. The name of the book is Kidnapped, A Dad's Story by Scott.
Kid Jacked.
See, look, it's, we talked about
it.
It's
okay.
So much better. And then I, yeah, juxtaposed.
That's what I'm
Kid
here
Jacked.
For.
Thank you. Kid Jacked, A Father's Story, right?
Yes, sir.
And I know it's available on Amazon.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Thanks very much. Remember the song of the day. We're all going to give it a listen as soon as we get off, and that is Gladiator by Zadie Wolfe. Oh, two more quick questions. Oh, by the way, I forgot to invite you all to share. Click share so other people in your life can hear about Scott's empowering story. Mm-hmm. Our music tastes are formed when we're teens, says Jennifer, and Linda says shared. Perfect messages. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. Scott, thank you, and make it a great day. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more. No.